Bumper car race course sounded like an incredibly strange mashup in Agar's mind, but Trika really wanted to see it, so there they were. That was the plan, to run a few laps to whatever track the two of them agreed on, and then just as quickly return back to the studio so Agar could resume organizing her late 1990s pop CD collection. But as soon as Agar picked out her bumper car, that almost inevitable competitive drive got the hold of her. She had to get first place. With her younger brother, in a way, in second, of course. She quickly studied the other racers and devised a plan. "This is Trico," said Agar. "With your beastly size, help me bump the other racers off the track to make it easier for us to get ahead." "What? We can do that?" cried Trico. "We'll go get a big dessert when we win. My treat," Agar bribed. There were some racers that they easily overtook without any offensive maneuvers, and Trico did well in taking care of the more aggressive competition. By the start of the final lap, Agar's plan had worked. They were first and second. A few more curves were up in the track, and then the straightaway. Smooth sailing up until a person dressed in a silver jumpsuit pulled up slightly ahead of her. "Hey, Agar, heard you were convinced about my favorite!" You know, if Agar had any rival in holding bizarre grudges, that would be Chris. Agar knew that Trico wouldn't be able to get the lead on Chris at this point, even with a boost, so Agar had to smash them off the course themselves. She could place Chris a third, but this option was better. Agar occasionally swerved, but being driven by a person, Chris's car was lighter and a bit faster. A few more attempts resulted in light nudges, but Chris was onto her game. They were on the straightaway. Their energy bars were almost depleted. Could Agar sacrifice her last bit to collide? Would Chris use their last of their boost? The finish line was in sight. And then, from out of nowhere, a pony rubber banded herself past all of them and ended the race in first.
Jeez. Well, then.
Can't get away from them in racing games, can we?
No. Yeah, it could put you in third, but no, it's better to just outright kill. So, yeah, there you go.
It was the same. Anyway, whatever. Welcome to the AgroCast podcast. For May, we'll be covering F0X. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm accompanied by Matt. Matt, how was your May?
May hasn't been too bad. I'm a bit worn down today. I bit my tongue, so if I'm
not figuratively.
Well, yeah, literally and actually bit my tongue, so it's a little bit swollen. So we'll see how we get through the podcast, but other than that, things are good. As for what I've been playing, I went back to Monster Hunter Rise since in just a month from now, Sunbreak is going to release. So I had a few event quests I had to complete, and mostly that was just sort of the hardest content of high rank that I wanted to get done before there's a temptation to go back in Master Rank to do the high rank stuff. So I cleared all that out.
And Sunbreak is officially adding in G-Rank, right?
It's Master Rank, but yeah, it's G-Rank.
Oh, well.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do like the term G-Rank more, personally, but yeah, that's a thing of the past. It's Master Rank now, I guess. I did have a lot of misgivings about Rise. Yeah, when all was said and done, but I am looking forward to Sunbreak. We'll see how it turns out, because it's getting closer and closer to a character action game rather than what Monster Hunter is. It's getting really fast. So we'll see how I like it at that point. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. And I'm not sure how it'll, you know, fall in terms of my preferences, but I mean, I've got it ordered, so I'll play it at least. And like I said, for as many misgivings as I had with Rise, I put a lot of hours into it and got all the crowns and all that, so it was still worthwhile. The other game I've been playing was like a remake of an old Dujin game by Platine Dispositive, Super Zangara. It's a remake of Zangara, which is it's sort of a Castlevania-style game, like a classic-style Castlevania game, but it's more like Vampire Killer rather than like Castlevania 1, because a lot of it involves finding keys and opening doors with them. And it was fun. I wrote an article about that one. I don't want to get too deep into Super Zangara, but it's fun. It's challenging. There's a little bit of a trap in the game, because when you start the game, you have two difficulties, super easy and super hard. And I'm like, well, I don't want to play super easy. So I went with super hard, and there's a lot of, like, red herrings in.
Are those not the same difficulties as Alien Soldier?
This is Alien Soldier, yeah, but I'm like, okay. I don't want to play super easy, so I'll see what super hard is like. But there's a lot of, like, mean tricks in Super Zangra that you kind of learn if you play Etude, which is the super easy mode first. Anyway, so I got through it, and I enjoyed it, and there's other difficulties that you unlock with the... There's one that's a lot more purely, like, Vampire Killer, because it's almost all door mazes. And then the other one, Nightmare Mode, is extremely hard, and it took me a good little while to beat that, but I got that. I got through that by some fucking token, but yeah. It's, I don't know if it's a game I can really put out a big recommendation for. It's a very niche appeal, because I don't think buying Super Zangra and only playing the easiest mode is getting your money's worth out of it. I think you need to at least play Etude Nocturne, which is a super hard mode, and then Overture, which is sort of the extra mode. Not necessarily play Nightmare, although I do recommend that if... Well, basically, I think that if you buy Super Zangra, you're already like these kind of games, and you're probably going to want to play it anyways. So, it seems unfair at first, but everything's doable in this. Yeah, fun game. Other than that, I really haven't been playing much, because that actually took up a lot more time than I expected. So, move on. And Chris, how was your May?
Yeah, my May was also pretty good. I did even less than you, though, because I'm still working on Kingsfield 2 and bits of 1 when I need to go back to work on the Wikidot stuff. Yeah, but for the most part, I've been playing F-Zero X, which I will probably get into on the proper podcast of why I have mostly been playing F-Zero X, other than it's a, spoiler alert, fun game. F-Zero X, first released in 1998, is an arcade racing game for the Nintendo 64, and the sequel to the first installment of the series, which was on the Super Nintendo. Along with an expanded roster, X introduces a more offensive tactic against other racers, and a random track generator titled X-Cup. Matt, let's begin with your history with this game and the series.
I guess my history with F-Zero started with the SNES game, because my brother looked for it. His excuse for wanting to get F-Zero was it was going to help him learn how to drive, which is probably a bad, bad idea. I will say I used to listen to F-Zero X music when I was driving, and I kind of stopped that pretty quickly because it's easy to go faster when you're listening to that stuff. So I played a fair bit of the Super Nintendo game because we had that. You know, did the straight-up races in it. We did our own homemade challenges in it and all that. So I really enjoyed F-Zero. And then I rented F-Zero X on the Nintendo 64, and I liked it so much I looked for a copy of that, like, right away. And I played the hell out of F-Zero X. I'd say, like, for a long period there, that was, like, quote-unquote, my game. So I still have a bit of muscle memory for it now, but I played the hell out of it back then. I don't know any, like, the super maneuvers that people do or anything, but I was pretty decent at it. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed F-Zero X. But that was a sort of a time thinking back on it, I was playing a lot of racing games at the time. And then after the Nintendo 64 PlayStation era, I wasn't playing as quite as many. Although I did play F-Zero GX to completion a couple of times. By completion, I mean I just, you know, beating cups. But because that was when I was going to university, I had to really be choosy about what games I was getting. So where my older brother had F-Zero GX, I had a very like easy way to get a hold of it if I wanted to play it. So I regret never getting out my own copy of GX, but I did play it and I did like it a lot. I played a little bit of GP Legend on the Game Boy Advance, a little bit of Maximum Velocity, and of course Climax never came out over here, so I haven't played that. I do like the Game Boy Advance games, although I will say my preference is with the 3D F-Zero games, which is odd for me because usually my preference is with the 2D games for things, but with F-Zero it's different.
Yeah, I think my first introduction to F-Zero was through X because I happen to remember it being randomly set up as a demo at a kiosk a long time ago. And then I think my familiarity with the series was after Smash 64 because Captain Falcon was on that roster. Played a bit of GX, but I was extremely bad at it. And I don't think I was really much of a big F-Zero fan then. But then I also played the Super Nintendo release a bit when I used to stream on the old Was It Justin or Ustream, whatever it was back in the day, the old Broforce stuff.
Yeah.
With that mint prick who was always trying to ruin me on the course. Hopefully that wasn't Pico. I think it was just an NPC who was a mint prick.
No, it was just one of the generic cards.
Yeah. Most of my experience with F-Zero is actually through Maximum Velocity. When I bought my friend's 3DS because he didn't want it anymore, it had all those free games with it. I don't remember the promotion that Nintendo had, but Maximum Velocity was on there and got a lot of playtime in that. I think I was super decent at it as well, but I think that's the F-Zero game with the most playtime to this day.
Yeah.
So as an arcade racer, to loosely go over the mechanics, there is a boost. As I mentioned in the introduction to this game, it is more offensive than the Super Nintendo version, where you can potentially ram opponents off the course if there is no wall in track. And you also have a health bar, mm-hmm. which I don't remember was in the first game. But
oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot more offensive in X because I just feel like racers in this game are just really mean to you. At least Billy is. Billy is really mean.
Did you actually notice that Billy will spin going over every fucking jump? Like, did you actually?
Oh my god, yes.
I thought that this might be confirmation, but I was thinking to myself, because back when I used to play on the N64 back in the day, you know, I would notice that Billy would be super aggressive, and then, you know, I'm playing a different version of it now, you know, and it's like he's doing the same thing, and I'm glad to hear that that's Billy's AI and not just, you know, the fates conspiring against him.
Well, in a way, I guess I appreciate it because it adds a personality to the racers. Mm-hmm. When you start up a race and you choose your machine, there's an option to do acceleration versus max speed. Summary, max speed almost always wins out. I usually do like 4 notches from the right. I think that's my sweet spot for the machines I pick.
So it depends on what kind of racer you're using. If you're using a racer that's really good at drifting, then maxing out acceleration is better. And if you're using a racer with good grip, then going about 5 notches or so, 4 or 5 notches on max speed is the best. I'm pretty sure you're never supposed to go all the way on max speed because you'll never accelerate to that max speed.
Right,
Under normal circumstances, right? So,
yeah, except maybe like silence, and that's pretty much the course with the longest straightaway. Yeah.
You mentioned how boosts work in your write-up here. Boosts are different than the first F-Zero. In F-Zero, you earn boosts when you pass the starting line. So in F-Zero X, when you finish your first lap, you get boost power. The boost ties into the machine health. So when you boost, you start to drain your machine's energy. So it's a risk versus reward thing. You can boost as much as you want as long as you have health to do it. You'll blow up if you hit a wall if you boost too much and you've drained all of your energy. So it's an interesting way to do boosts. And I do like that a bit more than the just earning a boost after every lap. So yeah, it's just how F-Zero X handles its boosts.
I'm actually not entirely sure how this mechanic works. Can you boost yourself to like 1 HP and then the thing that would end you was getting bumped or something? Or can you actually boost yourself to death?
I don't think you can boost yourself to death. I don't think you can, but don't hold me to that. Because I usually stop when there's a sliver.
It's not death, it's retiring in F0X, by the way, just linking, you know.
Sure. Well, I don't know how survivable an F0 wreck is, but I mean, the racers are back in the next race if you retire them, so I guess it's just not going to end the race.
They have the technology, I guess. Also, it's in space. I don't know.
I just want to mention the other difference between F0 and F0X is the amount of racers. There's now 30 racers. So the way that F0, the first one, worked, I think it was 5 laps, and then you had to be at a specific rank each time you passed the finish line, or you ranked out and you lost the race. You can finish first or 30th in F0X, and you just get an amount of points based on your position. And now that there's 30 racers, there's many more distinct machines. There's a few machines that are very similar to one another, but there's many more machines on the course, and you can distinguish them based on the portraits. And if you have a rival, we'll talk about the rival system later on. It clearly tells you who your rival is, and part of the meta, I guess, for at least casual F0 play is knowing who the knockout of the race. So we can talk about that in more depth when we talk about the challenge of F0X or how that game challenges you. But yeah, I just want to mention that the roster was expanded quite a bit for F0X and sort of the way that laps play out. There's only 3 laps now instead of the 5 with the rank out.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, for the original Super Nintendo, there were only 4 racers that you could choose from. Mm-hmm. And then the NPCs that were on the race. But now it's the 30 racers, and they're all racers that you can eventually select on the character select screen.
Right.
As I mentioned, F0X greatly expanded the roster from the first game. Do we have any favorite racers and machines? I should say as a disclaimer, some of these might have some overlap with GX, because GX also kind of expanded their histories. So if I have a favorite, maybe there's more reason to it from GX than from X.
I like most of the cast of F0X. There's a few that are more generic to the point that I kind of forgot they were in the game, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because they kind of make the more alien characters a bit more unique in that respect. In terms of who I really like, my favorite racer is always going to be Pico, or Pico, mostly because that's who I played in the Super Nintendo game. Unfortunately, I don't think Pico is quite as good in F0X. He's definitely not as good as in the SNES game, and he's not really good at all in GX. But I still like him quite a bit. When I played F0X regularly, I played Blood Falcon in the Bloodhawk, which is an edgy choice to take the clone of the main character, the evil clone.
Who's your favorite Hedgehog in Sonic again?
Well, I know what people are going to think, because a lot of world records were set by the Bloodhawk. And honestly, part of the reason why I played that machine is that I really like the performance of it. I wasn't too bad at drifting back in the day, and it had, you know, had decent body and a good boost, and the grip is something I can work with. So I like the character, but I think I like the performance of the machine, and that's usually, that kind of goes against my usual ethos when I select what I like, because I usually go for more qualitative things than quantitative things when I select a favorite. But because honestly, the Bloodhawk is not the prettiest machine. So it's like, yeah, it is what it is. I like Blood Falcon and the Bloodhawk. In GX, I think it ended up being a really bad machine. So it had its day in the sun, I guess. But it's really good in F0X. And that's how I did Joker on Expert in F0X this time around, was the Bloodhawk and drifting. But yeah, good machine, really good machine.
when we were going to record this podcast, I didn't say we needed to clear. I thought that I could at least do maybe King Cup, you know, doing all right. But to this day, I'm actually still struggling on Novice even. I guess I'm not too good at F0X, but I'll get there, I think. And I think one of the reasons why I took so long this month to actually get anywhere in F0X was because I was looking at the machine stats, and the one that seemed to pull to me the most was the Red Gazelle. I thought having E for body was not going to be much of an issue, but I believe the boost is at A. So I was like, okay, well, I like being a glass cannon, so to speak, and I thought I could probably get along with that. But I kept constantly getting bullied too much in this aggressive game, so what I ended up switching to was Golden Fox, Dr. Stewart, who, I guess his machine looks okay. I mean, I don't really care about his character either. Sorry, man. For what I'm trying to clear right now, it seems to be like the best machine for me. So I guess I have to go also through technical aspects have to win out for me at the moment. But through the use of a good friend here offering me a save so I could try out the other racers and the other machines, definitely other machines I felt more comfortable driving. I would say usual preference for machines is that the boost needs to be either A or B. Grip is either D or C, and then body has to be at least D to win, because at E, I pretty much can't do too well. But I was trying to mess around with the other machines and see what I liked. And aesthetically, I really want to get good with the Super Piranha and the Queen Meteor, even though they have bodies at E, but the rest are in B. I don't know. We got cool-looking machines, and the races are pretty cool.
Well, the Super Piranha has a B body. Now, Kate Allen is one of my favorite racers. It's partly because the Super Piranha looks like Samus's gunship. Yeah, Jody Summer looks like Samus, but Kate's vehicle looks like the ship. Anyhow, there's two Samus characters in the game. If it makes you feel better to give you like a lore reason to like Dr. Stewart, he's racing in memory of his father, and his stats are DAD. So there's
that. Which is a nice little bit. That's not as cool as practically being Samus or Queen Meteor.
Yeah.
And the racer, Miss Arrow, is like ripped. So I was like, oh, yeah, well.
I like Mrs. Arrow. I actually like the Queen Meteor quite a bit. I like that machine. In terms of like E-body machines, that's the one I like the most. And she's yoked as fuck, so that's good too.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
That's all good.
I'm also incredibly amused by the little wyvern. I mean, it's James yeah. McCloud. He's just practically Fox's dad from Star Fox.
I used the little wyvern a lot in F-Zero GX. I don't know how it actually ranks in that game, but I like his theme song, and I like his ending video and all that, so it was a good choice in my opinion. Oh, I want to shout out Octoman, because...
Oh, heck yeah, we have to shout out Octoman. We've been like talking about him for like days on end ever since we decided we're going to play F-Zero.
I think he's in the second row of machines, so if you can get 3 stars, Octoman's a decent beginner machine, I think. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, his stats are a BBC on the Deep Claw.
Yeah. I generally like either a really high grip or a really low grip, because the really low grip is good for drifting, because you need to break your grip faster in order to drift, get into a drift sooner and all that. So that's why I like... Blood Falcon, because the Bloodhawk is BAE. It's before anyone else. So I guess that's meant to be, but yeah. I like most of the racers, honestly, but there are a few I prefer to play as.
Yeah, but apparently my favorite racer and machine is the very last one, who is the Skull, who pilots the Sonic Phantom. He is really just a skeleton. So I was like, man, gotta lock him, but I think you need like 12 X's on all those cups. So yeah, that's kind of a struggle.
Yeah.
I think his story is that he was brought back to life by dark magic, because dark magic is also a thing in the F-Zero universe. I love like whatever nonsense is happening here.
Yeah. No, I like the, I like this mixing of, you know, technology and magic just for the Skull, because I really like the character. I think the Sonic Phantom is probably the nicest looking machine in the game. It's got the best design, in my opinion. I also like Baba's Iron Tiger, but yeah, there's some really distinct machines here and some like really pretty ones. And then you have like the Red Gazelle, the Queen Meteor, and the Super Arrow may as well be the same looking machine, right? But
how come Biorex isn't one of your favorites?
I don't know. I think there's so many wild characters in F-Zero X that a dinosaur just doesn't hit the same way.
Just like how I wish Zoda was more of a Star Tropics reference instead of some dude named Zoda. They just happen to share names, I guess.
They're both purple. It's about the best I can do. I'm sure that Zoda's name is a reference to Zoda from Star Tropics. It just seems like a weird choice otherwise. But he's not even an alien.
If it was supposed to be a Star Tropic reference, they could have definitely leaned on it more because we have James McCloud here, so,
yeah,
you know.
You have James McCloud, you have Samus twice.
Yeah.
You have Mr. EAD as Mario. So, there's that.
Is Gomorrah and Sio supposed to be like Mario and Luigi, or is that just me also trying to make references out of nothing?
You know, I always thought Gomorrah and Sio were supposed to be Mario and Luigi. I've read recently someone thinks that their outfit looks like Geno, but I think that's an extreme stretch. But maybe. I think it's supposed to be Mario and Luigi, though.
So moving on from favorite racers and machines, do we have any favorite tracks? And this could be for any reason, you know, presentation and the cool music in this game or the technicality.
I do have a few that I like a lot. Most of the races I really like are towards the end of the game, to be honest with you.
I think that's expected in a way because they're trying to build up to the more challenging and more technical stages. So it's understandable, yeah.
I do think the Jack Cup is a good introductory Grand Prix because most of the courses in the Jack Cup just sort of introduce elements like Sand Ocean introduces the pipe tunnels and Big Blue introduces the cylinder. But Big Blue is one of my favorite courses, Big Blue 1, because I don't think the Space Plant cylinder has boosters on it, but I used to be able to do the Big Blue cylinder, hitting most of the boosters along the way. I'm really bad at these cylinders now, to be honest with you, but I used to really love the Big Blue, especially the cylinder. The second Big Blue with the tight corner is pretty cool too, but mostly the cylinder was, at the time, was really cool and different. Like, that's not something I had done much in racing at the time. And I think the Big Blue theme song is probably overplayed by this point, but it is legitimately one of the better songs in the franchise. So just the setting, like the ocean setting, and it's bright, there's water, there's the cylinder, there's the really cool theme song, there's the boosters. I think it's just a really, really neat stage, to be honest.
On my list, I don't have any of the Big Blue stages. I also kind of wrote Space Plant, which is kind of cool, but I think that's just my longing for the GX version, which was incredibly neat, in my opinion. If there's any track I distinctly remember from GX, it's Space Plant, but this is an X podcast, not a GX one.
Right.
I think my favorite stage in the entire game is probably Whiteland 2. I just really love that half pipe and just the way it's designed. I think it just looks presentation-wise, it's just really cool.
Yeah, Whiteland 2 is on my list as well, because the half-pipe and knowing how to control yourself in the half-pipe and, you know, all these little adjustments that you can make with tackle turning or however you call it, like the slide attack, you can use that to turn and you can maybe use it to sort of keep your balance. Knowing how to keep your balance in this half-pipe without losing speed, it's very satisfying.
And also not, you know, shooting yourself off the course or something.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I will mention my least favorite courses in all of F-Zero X are ones with like really tight sections where 20 cars try to get into the same narrow strip at once. Never a fan of those tracks.
Red Canyon 2 or Port Town 2?
Yeah.
Because Port Town 2 has sort of that S-curve. Like, it's, I think it might be an S-curve with right angles, maybe. Yeah, Port Town 2 can be pretty nasty. Especially after the jump. In terms of my other favorites, I really like Devil's Forest 3.
That's also my favorite. It's kind of a short course, yeah. But it's very technical, and it's just really fun, in my opinion, yeah.
There's a lot of really nice curves for drifting, and this is the course where you go, like, on the ceiling of the, above the other course.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, I love when the course does that.
And then it kind of ends in a tunnel, but so it's sort of a little bit of spectacle. If you get far enough ahead that you can see the other racers on the other side, then that's really cool. And just being able to take those turns as well as you can, it's just really satisfying. I think that's a nice technical course. And as you said, like most of the Devil's Forest courses are kind of short, but they're always very technical. So I like that about them.
I have both Sector Alpha and Beta on here. They're just fun courses. I just wrote that. That's all I need to say. I mean, I don't think there's anything too special about them, but I guess they don't have any narrow passages that I dislike, and just the overall feel of them, I enjoy racing on them.
With the somersaults in Beta, I think there's room to do some, like, going off the course, gaining speed that way. Like, some very casual jumping you can do in this. Like, not the crazy stuff you see speedrunners do, but more casual jumping. So, yeah, they're solid courses. I think maybe my favorite course is Big Hand.
I think it's like one of the last stages in
it's
Joker
the last,
Cup, right?
It's the last course of Joker Cup. And I don't know why that one's my friggin' favorite course, but I think it's just...
One, it's shaped like a hand, so...
Yeah. And that comes from the talk to the hand generation, of course, but...
Oh. And it definitely is a technical stage. I mean, with all those hairpins, because of, you know, when you look at your hand, that's where the fingers go through, so... It's a lot of going through there and then not trying to run into every other racer of all, so trying to keep your health and all that.
I think way back in the day, Big Hand is the course that it clicked for me that if you're going to win casually on the harder difficulties, you need to kill the competition. And I had an absolute rampage on Big Hand one time, and I think that
you
just
became
stuck
with me. Billy on Big Hand.
Yeah, it was like 12 to 15 kills or something, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is a good course. You can just knock everyone off the edge. But I do like it on a technical level as well, because, again, there's opportunities to do the attack turns as well as to do drifting turns, and the ice can really mess you up unless you know, like, a line to take to, you know, take it without flying off the edge.
Right.
It's just a really fun course. It has the same song as the Whiteland stages do, which I think is Climb Up and Get the Last Chance. I think that's the one.
And I wouldn't recall the track names, yeah.
And that's one of my favorite songs in the game. So it's all sort of coming together. And it's also, again, it's shaped like a big hand, so it's just like a fun course. Yeah, it's a fun course, and I think there's a lot of technicality to it. It's one of the longer courses in the game, but I think that's fine. It's a bit of an endurance one, but there's a lot of opportunities to make up your rank and to knock out the competition and to practice some of your more technical tricks on it, right? It's good.
Yeah, and the last track I have on here on my list that I really like is Mute City 3. That one has a pretty big jumps in it. In other stages, I find the jumps kind of, like, not interesting personally, but I think something about Mute City 3 just makes a lot of fun in the airborne aspects to it, and Billy's off there, you know, spinning like a maniac. That's right.
Firefield stuff, it shows up early, and Firefield was the last course in F-Zero, so I'm kind of a little bit disappointed it didn't have a later showing, but by the same token, I really like the Joker Cup, so it's not a big deal, but it's a big jump followed by a couple of tight turns. So it is a good course, but it's a pretty short one. It's mostly gimmicked around that jump. What did you think of Rainbow Road? Because I know people are going to wonder.
I guess it wasn't as interesting. It doesn't... I don't want to bring up Mario Kart on this podcast, but...
We're going to have to.
I think to Mario Kart's credit for Rainbow Road, it has a really stupid, catchy song. So
yeah.
And F-Zero does not. And I'm going to bring this up now. I think it's really cool that F-Zero X runs on 60 frames per second, which I think is pretty much a standard for any racing game nowadays, but I think it's impressive for being on the Nintendo 64 and running at that speed. And that means the graphical quality of this game had to not be too fantastic, but, I mean, it's a racing game. I would definitely prefer a consistent higher frame rate than good graphics.
Right.
So the presentation of Rainbow Road and F-Zero X is kind of lacking. It's not like even entirely rainbow. It's only some sections of the track are rainbow.
Yeah.
And to like Mario Kart's credit, I think usually when they make Rainbow Roads, they're, I guess, a lot more technical. And in comparison to other tracks in F-Zero, Rainbow Roads is just not too interesting in terms of that either.
Rainbow Road in F-Zero X is a really good drifting course again, which you'll see is like a really common thing about the Joker Cup. There's a lot of good sliding or drifting turns in it, right? It's really accommodating for that. And I think it's a good course. It's the same layout as Mario Kart 64. This doesn't have sort of the more ethereal elements that Rainbow Road usually has, and it doesn't have chain chomps, of course. It has some mines.
And all that nonsense, yeah.
But there's some really cool lines you can take through Rainbow Road to get really fast at it, and it is a good course. I do think that the visual elements, particularly for Rainbow Road, those are where you kind of feel it in F-Zero X, because Rainbow Road is a spectacle in Mario Kart 64. And as you said, the rainbow sections of the road aren't even like the majority of the track. It's sort of half and half. I found that the rainbow elements were better when I had this X Cup stage that had like a pinkish sky and some background elements, and that had rainbow tracks in it, and that was really nice. So they can work. It's just that the presentation does fall a bit in X. In the expansion pass, Rainbow Road does get its own theme song, which is good, and it's a really cool remix of it, but it doesn't get that in just the standard F-Zero X. Since you brought up the frame rate and the visuals, yes, it is a common complaint now retroactively about F-Zero X, about the visuals. I don't remember it being that big a deal back then, because it still looks a lot better than a lot of games at the time. But it does have to give up some graphical fidelity for the frame rate. But when you're moving that quickly, you need all the frame rate you can muster. So by some miracle, F-Zero X does run at 60 frames per second. And even the way that the track, like you can see a lot of track in F-Zero X, because you need to see ahead of you in order to make these turns properly. Because the game can be a bit reactive and the game can be a bit memory-based, but if you don't have enough time to process the information when you're moving that quickly, then it starts to fall apart. So the frame rate is super important for F-Zero X, and I think some of the stages are still pretty, but I can't lie and say that it's the most attractive racing game of the generation, right?
Yeah, I would agree that it's not the prettiest racing game of the generation. I don't even know what other 64 racing games were. That was it, like Rave Race at this point? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, again, just because of what you mentioned about, you know, knowing the track and just keeping the frame rate consistent is definitely far more important to me than the graphical quality. And, you know, with the standards of what F-Zero X is, there definitely still are some stages that are really nice in presentation. I mean, like Mute City 3 looks really cool. I think all the Mute Cities actually look pretty good. You know, White Land 2 was a little sparse, I think, personally, but I think it's mostly about how cool the track is to me.
Yeah.
The background doesn't really matter too much in ways. It would definitely help with just the overall presentation, but I don't think it's important in F-Zero X, and I'm glad when they made this game, they just focused on what needed to be focused on, which was, I think, the frame rate and just, you know, having smooth controls and so on.
And I would argue by the similar respect that F-Zero GX still looks quite pretty. So, yeah, it's sort of an evolving franchise. And if you look at the history of F-Zero, like even the Super Nintendo game, since it was doing a lot, even as a launch title, as a showcase for Mode 7. They couldn't have a lot of foreground or elements around the track because of how they had to, you know, execute it, right? So that's why F-Zero tracks are so far above the surface of these planets. And, you know, just so they don't have to have things beside the course in order to make it work. So F-Zero has always been chasing these tactical things. And eventually that would pinnacle with GX. But yeah, I think F-Zero X is fine.
Since you sort of briefly mentioned it, you want to go over the X Cup? I would say that the tracks that I randomly generated were too interesting. I guess I did get some more technical ones. Like, one was honestly just kind of like an oval, but there was one hairpin in it, which was a strange thing I'd made up. And then I think another one was just like it had a sort of loop in it. So I guess I didn't play around too much in it to get really interesting tracks, but the very fact that it has like a random generated section is like really interesting to me. I don't know how often this was done in other racing games at the era.
So the X Cup is interesting because it does provide these randomly generated courses. However, most of them are just like these little pork chop shaped tracks that don't have a lot to them because of this. So I will say that I will always enjoy constructed tracks more than the X Cup, especially since I find with the X Cup, the other racers tend to group together a lot, and I don't know, maybe it's, again, this confirmation bias. I never find them as aggressive in the X Cup because I don't think they have a, like a...
sort of understanding of the track. Like,
yeah, because with the created one, they will have an understanding of how to get around the track. They know how to get around that. Point being, I've had X Cup courses where 29 racers will fall to their doom at the first turn because they don't understand the track. I think it's a really cool concept, but it's interesting to see what the game will come up with, this sort of mishmash of background and foreground elements and course elements. But I don't think you're going to get the bulk of your playtime in the X Cup, even though it is like randomly generated. It's a neat thing to play around with, but it's a fairly steep thing to unlock, too. You need to beat Expert on all four cups in order to unlock X Cup. So that's a fairly steep requirement for something like this, but it's a neat reward.
It's kind of like an epilogue content, yeah, in a way.
It's not such important content that you're missing out if you don't want to go for it. But by the same notion, you don't have it, so you feel like you're missing out, right?
Offhand, do you know if they tried this randomly generated track stuff in future titles? I can't remember at all if it was in GX. I don't think it was. GX was weird already, so.
Yeah, I can't tell you right offhand. GX had the story mode as its big thing, right? So
that sure was a big thing. But so, again, this is not a GX podcast.
Yeah.
We kind of went over this briefly, but just to talk about it a little more. The aggression of X compared to the previous game and its other challenging aspects. I think I've gone off about Billy a bit much, but I mean, honestly, I think Billy is just the one with the AI that's just really aggressive. For the most part, when I do races, even on Expert, when I try that out, definitely a lot of bumping around, but I don't think anything is really too devious when you're at a turn and some other racer's trying to knock you off. I don't think the AI is that smart enough. It just seems like a lot of clashing around.
Oh, they will. But they will.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I just got lucky with my cool skeleton that I totally got earnestly.
Sure.
The aggressiveness alone was enough for me, even on Jack Novice, that I had to not use a car with e-body. Maybe if I get a bit better and learn how to dodge, that would have been an issue. But at my current level, it was pretty rough out there.
So I think in terms of the aggression in F-Zero X, I like how it handles it because you're attacking with your machine. In other racing games, you will get items that you can fire at other racers. And I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between the racer and these items when that happens. It's just not my preferred way to play. I know people love the Mario Kart system of, you know, items as a catch-up mechanic. I think Extreme G also had items you could pick up, missiles and stuff to fire. And that's more of an F-Zero kind of game, except it's like future motorcycles.
I mean, there's a different variety of arcade racer games, so, I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
But I find that since F-Zero X ties, you know, this attacking mechanic to your health, well, because you can be attacked, and it ties boosting to your health, and it ties taking turns improperly to your health, I really like how aggressive it becomes and how sometimes you're playing F-Zero X, and if you think you know the course, you're going to, you know, walk a razor line at very little health to get the most out of your boosts. Because when you're drifting, you want to be boosting. When you're drifting, if you have a straightaway, you want to be boosting. There's lots of cases where you want to boost. Sometimes you don't want to boost because you will fly off the course. But, you know.
Sometimes you don't want to boost because you'll eat that turn really badly.
Yeah. Or, like, you'll panic. You're spinning out and you go, oh, I want to boost to pass this person that just passed me. And it's not a good idea. But even one of the more, one of the techniques I mentioned before, you know, using these side attacks to turn, because they let you turn sharply after this attack without losing much speed. Even that, I've had a lot of collateral damage just doing that. People are trying to pass me and it's like, boom, you're gone and I'm turning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really like that level of aggression. And I find for someone who's playing on a casual level like I was this time, and even like I said back in the day, I was never at speedrunner levels for this game. But you have to know that, okay, if I knock my rival out, because the game tells you which racer has the closest to your score in points if you're in first, or who has the most in score if you're not in first. And it has this word rival right above their head. And you'll learn that if you knock them out during this course, they won't earn any points, so they lose potentially 100 points by knocking them out. And you get, like, I got good back in the day by, you know, using the camera button to swing the camera behind me. So I knew where they were behind me if I wasn't in 30th starting the race, because, you know, if you come in first, you'd come in 30th. It's an inverse relationship. I got good at swinging the camera behind me so I could kind of predict when they'd be trying to pass me, because there is rubber banding in F-Zero X, especially for your rival and other machines that are doing well. Your rival will right to the end of the line very quickly unless you stop them. So I got good at predicting when they would try to pass me at the start and just crush them then. No, it didn't always work, but it's like that's the strategy I usually go for. And I think people that are struggling on Expert and Master in F-Zero X, if you can get first on a couple of courses that you're really good at, and then even doing Expert this time, I had 7th and 8th on certain courses that I wasn't doing very well at, but because I was destroying my rivals and I came in first on a couple, I mean, I still came in first overall. So it rewards aggression in that sense. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I didn't do too much going out after my rival in my attempts because, well, one, when I was in the Red Gazelle, I didn't exactly have the body to really be that aggressive, in my opinion. Maybe like other machines, maybe I'd feel more comfortable on it, especially in courses that would probably require it. You really don't need to be unnecessarily aggressive in Jack Cup, but you know, I tried anyway because this is F-Zero X. But I also really like the added pressure, especially when you're amongst the top three and the announcer's yelling that there is someone right behind your back. You know, do you want to use that boost or not get bumped anywhere while that straightaway is right there? It's really good tension.
The announcer, I got to give the announcer props because very, very good.
Oh, yeah. The announcing in this game is so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things from F-Zero X I've quoted for a long time. So, yeah, it's good to play it again and hear them again, so it's all good.
To finish up this discussion, have some longing for the expansion kit that was not released outside of Japan. I didn't get to play it, but you did, Matt, yeah?
I only played it for the first time recently, and I only played the practice runs of the courses just to get a feel for them, because I find that these courses are trickier than the Joker Cup. So, it was only the weekend before recording this. It's it's a Monday, so I just didn't have time to learn them and then do the Grand Prix. I just got the notion I wanted to try them. But I really like them. The expansion for F-Zero X on the 64DD includes a custom machine option, a custom tracks option, and then two cups. DD cup is kind of funny, just because of, you know, but it's this drive cup. So I thought they were really good courses, but they're also really tricky. They put a lot of, like, really tight elements together.
I'll describe them, but in the way of the course design, they're just, for lack of a better word, really gimmicky. There's Devil Force 5, which is basically an X, so which is fitting, but, you know, imagine driving that. There's, like, all those four turns, and then there's the hairpin when you get to, like, the B section of the X. It's,
Well, Devil's Force 5, that X, that's a really technical course as well. As well, because it's not very long, right? Sand Ocean 3 has another cylinder, but it's, like, a long cylinder, and it's twisting all around. It's really cool. It's one of the best visual things in the game. And Mute City 4 has a half pipe, but it's a slim half pipe, so it's really, really easy to fly. Boy. And then, of course, there's Bigfoot, which is a foot-shaped course.
You know, to match Big Hand. So, yeah,
which is really good, too. Yeah, there's some really cool courses. Even the first one, I think the first course is Silence 3?
Yes, yeah. It has an outside loop, as in description.
It has this, like, multiple loops. And if you boost on that loop and you're going anyways fast, you're flying off of it. So, yeah, there's a lot of little areas like that in these courses that I'm thinking, okay, there's a lot of places to die. I'm just going to do some practice runs on them and get a feeling for them. Because, again, you said they're gimmicky, but they also... Say a course is built around a big jump, and then another course is built around a tunnel. Like, some of these courses, you'll go from a series of jumps into a tunnel. So it combines some of the bigger gimmicks that would define a stage, rolling them multiple together into one. So they're very interesting. They feel like almost like fan-made stages, or like if there was a F-Zero Maker. Well, there is an F-Zero Maker. There's a course creator in Climax, and there's a course creator in this game, in the expansion. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because, again, they're constructed courses and they have a logic to them and they have a purpose to them. They're fun. But yeah, in terms of pining for that, I would have loved to have this when I was younger. I don't know if I want to call them very difficult at this point because I haven't played them in any kind of serious setting. But they're very fun and they're very challenging. And yeah, I would like to have that challenge back in the day of this. I mean, the 64DD was ill-fated, so what can you say?
From the looks of it, as we were mentioning, like, the X Cup is very epilogue because it is randomly generated. But these are, you know, made courses, and I think these are really fun as additional courses to play through in, if there was ever, like, an F-Zero X Complete Edition or something.
You know, I've seen comments that they missed the boat on the Nintendo Switch Online version of F-Zero X because that comes with the expansion pass, and they could have had the expansion pack with it. In some ways, this whole expansion cups, they remind me of BS F-Zero Grand Prix 2 on the Satellaview, because there's less elements to work with in F-Zero on the SNES, but the Satellaview courses do sort of the same thing, but they do a lot of things with jumps. Like, put jumps around the perimeter or make interesting jumps around the course or things like that. So, they just have fun with the elements of the game, which is what these DD cups do. It's sort of the same energy, except a lot higher energy. It just comes from the same place.
In modern day, this would probably be, like, DLC, which, in my opinion, seems like a welcome addition. They're not really tied integrally into, like, the quote-unquote story for X, but they are additional courses that would be fun to drive in. So, I also long for it in a way. haven't had a new F-Zero game. The last one was on the Game Boy Advance. So what would our dream new F-Zero game would be like? And we are not bound by Nintendo's weak standards and bad taste. Matt, what is your ideal new F-Zero game like?
I'm trying not to turn this into a big rant, right? I'm really trying not to. But I do have to address that, you know, people have said, you know, where does F-Zero go after GX? Or we can't do F-Zero until we have an interesting controller scheme for it or an interesting gimmick. I don't want F-Zero to have a gimmick. I want it to be F-Zero. I want the gimmick to be the first fucking F-Zero game in 20 years. I want the gimmick to be F-Zero. And I think if they want a new element, Nintendo doesn't have the best track record for online, but I think if they could do 30-player online F-Zero without a drop in performance, which is a fucking real pie-in-the-sky wish, then that would be a terrific direction to take the game. Because the one...
This is the what is your dream F-Zero game. It doesn't have to be realistic in, right. You know...
Because the one thing F-Zero really hasn't done well is the multiplayer. Because, I mean, there's split-screen multiplayer on F-Zero X and all that, but it's like, no, I kind of want all the screen real estate to myself when it comes to F-Zero. In terms of what I want from it, I mean, I want a game as technical as GX or X, where the racers are... Because there is an imbalance in the racers in terms of performance. I want the more racers to be valid in their standard machines, and I want them, you know, just to be a fast, good game. I want more F-Zero. I think the question of what do I want from a perfect F-Zero game is I kind of want more of what we have, and I can kind of see the wisdom in not producing more games if you don't think you can add anything to the series. Because Lord knows Nintendo doesn't follow that same mantra for other series. But I think the more I think about it, it's like, thank goodness F-Zero never came out on the Wii or the Wii U. Because if you try to shoehorn a gimmick into a game that has to run this quickly, I think it starts to fall apart. Because I think your attention needs to be wrapped for F-Zero in order for it to work. So I want a game with, you know, sort of the visual fidelity of GX, or at least the more visual elements like GX has at a higher fidelity, that it still runs at 60 frames per second at minimum, that has more characters, has more story elements for these characters, because I like a lot of them. And I know Captain Falcon is the hero of the game or whatever, but give some other characters some story missions as well, and just sort of expand on the universe that they present, because GX, especially with these like piled interviews and giving these characters more and more personality, even if they're hammy or if they're over the top, I think that's cool. And I just want to see more of that. I want to see them really sort of double down on it being technical and being flavorful. I think the reason that we don't get F-Zero right now is pretty clearly because it won't have the same numbers that Mario Kart does. And let me make it clear that I don't begrudge Mario Kart its sales. But right now you're even seeing people that are like, well, why is Mario Kart 8 getting extra courses? I kind of want Mario Kart 9. I kind of want a change up with the mechanics and so on and so forth. With that being the ethos that Nintendo has right now, I don't know if we're going to see another F-Zero game. I think even a remake or remaster of F-Zero GX at this point might be the ideal F-Zero game that I could realistically hope for. But the thing is, I think that F-Zero caters to a different audience than Mario Kart does, even though they're both racing games. I don't think one cannibalizes the other necessarily. So I think it can exist, especially since Metroid Dread can exist. And make that another F-Zero wish. Put Samus in the game, even though she already is.
She has like two versions of
Even though she already is, put her in the game. So yeah, it's tough for me to say what my ideal F-Zero game would be, because it's kind of boring to say I want more of the same, but I kind of want, you know, just a refinement of what we have. Yeah. More courses, more F-Zero. I guess that's what I want.
Yeah, my dream new F-Zero game is also rather purist in a sense. This is definitely coming from me, who prefers racing simulation games, or at least has a stronger pull for racing simulation games. So a lot of those are, this is the same game almost every installment, but they're always refining things. So it's always about more of the AI they're trying to adjust, or making sure the physics are correct. And I know it's this is my dream F-Zero game, and in a game where flying off in space at like nearly 1,000 kilometers per hour, still kind of want a physics system. That would be my dream game, you know, like the sort of aerodynamics to be incorporated, because yeah. I don't like the more arcade gimmicks like rubber banding. If the racers aren't doing well because that's just how the physics are, then so be it. Even though I did describe earlier that I do like that tension when you're like near first place and then there's a car coming up behind you but you have low health, I'd still enjoy that, but I would also prefer, you know, if you just happen to be really good and all the other racers are behind you, then there's no reason for the AI to say, maybe we should just make the cars better, because I don't know, that just seems like a weird or cheating. I don't know, that's just me being really realistic about an arcade racer game.
Yeah.
But again, it's my dream F-Zero game, and I want the basis to be an arcade game, so I also still want the zaniness of the cast. Just go all out on the cast. You can just add more characters in it. You can have more Nintendo cameos in it. Because F-Zero is definitely a series that can get away with it. I definitely also have a very purist approach to if there was ever a new F-Zero game. If I was going to go for what could happen in the future if Nintendo actually dared to make another installment in the series. But if they were to make a new game in the series, I guess I just want more of the same. Bring back the course creator and the creator machine thing that sounded really interesting from expansion kit. That just seems like a neat aspect to add to the kind of wacky adjustments that you can do in F-Zero. I think just, you know, creating your own machine and then creating your own track seems like something that would fit right in. And yeah, keep the high frame rate and then just have some good graphical fidelity, because at this generation of games, it's totally doable. In a way, I guess I'm glad F-Zero is not getting any updates, because Nintendo would probably put a gimmick on it with their current track record. So, again, I have a dream F-Zero game, which is definitely not what Nintendo would do, but I really agree on Nintendo anyway, as we've gone through all these podcasts about them.
And maybe Nintendo putting a gimmick on it, that might actually do something worthwhile. I just have a lot of trepidations about that.
The story mode of GX was a gimmick, but it was, like, not a good story, but I think it was, like, amusing in a way. I think it's one of those,
it was campy. I like it.
Campy things, yeah. That made it good. I don't really care about online either. I feel like F-Zero for me is mostly, like, a single-player aspect.
Well, for me as well, but I think that, you know, online is something that F-Zero hasn't done. So if Nintendo wanted a selling point for it, and if it got a good F-Zero mate, I'm like, yeah, sure, put online in it.
So to go over real final thoughts, how cool is F-Zero X? And any other concluding thoughts we have?
F-Zero X is really cool.
It is, yeah.
As might be apparent, this was one of my favorite games on the Nintendo 64. I give the Nintendo 64 a bad rap, but really, F-Zero X and Ogre Battle 64 are some of my favorite games of all time. And as I said, I played the daylights of this game when I was a kid. And coming back to it was a joy. It was a lot more difficult than I remember to get back up to speed on it, but, you know, what else was I playing F-Zero, right? It's that, you know, that joy of chasing that challenge and completing these cups and, you know, experimenting with these different machines. It just brought me back, and yeah, it was just a good experience all around. Yeah, I enjoyed it. There's really not a lot I can say for final thoughts about F-Zero X other than I really enjoy it. And, I mean, some people have preferences for GX and some people have preferences for X. And they do have different meta, I guess, to them in terms of stats and weight for these machines. They're both really good games, and I think that if you're interested in the F-Zero series, give X a play. It's really good.
So I came into this podcast having played absolutely almost zero F-Zero X prior, except for that kiosk, which is like such a distant memory now, and it's so far back. So coming here and having that opening guitar riff during the N64 loading screen or whatever opener was already pulling me in, and then just playing a few tracks already on the Novice Jack Cup really settled that. Oh man, F-Zero X is going to be a really cool game. And as I went through it, you know, I really appreciated the speed of it. I did some of the King Cup stuff on practice because I was still working on it at the time, but just to get a feel of the later stages, that was really fun. And then after you gave me your save so I can try out the other stuff, that was even better. So overall, you know, F-Zero X is definitely a really cool game. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like to reach me, I am twitter.com/Karasu, CAWRASU. Matt, where can we reach you?
You can reach me at twitter.com/Mattazoic, MATTOZOIC. It's like the Mesozoic here, except the dinosaurs are better. We've got BioRexus. That website's the same, mattazoic.com.
And where can you reach our dear horse, Agro?
You can reach Arrow at twitter.com/Arrowcast, AGROCAST.
All right, where are we going for the month of June?
So for June, we are going to be playing Pilotwings, the first one on the Super Nintendo.
I have zero experience with Pilotwings, so this will be another, I guess, game breaker for me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think that'd be a good change of pace, too.
Yep, for sure.
So until then, cheers.
Cheers.